Good morning and welcome to the Presbyterian Church of Floyd. This is Reverend Bob McLavy welcoming you to our time together. This morning we're going to have a passage out of the Gospel of John where we see Jesus as a part of his ministry when he's healing the son of an official. And the message that I want to convey this morning is about how Jesus' actions and his teachings are really one in the same. He shows us by his actions what it means to be a part of the kingdom of heaven. And Alan Vest has recorded for us this morning a wonderful new song entitled "He Will Carry You," a song that I hope you will enjoy. It's a beautiful song. So as we prepare to hear our message this morning, as we prepare to hear God's word proclaimed, let us pray. Almighty God, we do thank you for the way that you bless us. We thank you during this season of Lent for the opportunity to reflect on our lives and to seek new ways to come closer to you. And so we just pray now that you will be with us as we hear your word. We pray that you will open our hearts and our minds and help us, Lord, to truly understand. So we thank you and we praise you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our scripture passage this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verses 43 through 54. And I have entitled this morning's message, "Jesus Taught and Jesus Acted." So here is John 4, verses 43 through 54. After the 2 days, he left for Galilee. Now Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, for they also had been there. Once more he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. "Unless you people see signs and wonders," Jesus told him, "you will never believe." The royal official said, "Sir, come down before my child dies." "Go," Jesus replied, "your son will live." The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, "Yesterday, at 1 in the afternoon, the fever left him." Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." So he and his whole household believed. This was the second sign Jesus performed after coming from Judea to Galilee. This is the word of the Lord. Jesus has begun his public ministry and has been making his way through the countryside, performing miraculous signs and teaching about the kingdom. Now, this is a very intriguing story with two primary characters. There's Jesus and the royal official. You could explore the story from the perspective of either character. Most of the time that I've heard this story taught, it's been from the perspective of the royal official and how strong his faith in Jesus must have been. He took Jesus at his word. He made the long 20-mile journey home all by himself, trusting that his son would indeed be restored to health because of what Jesus had said to him. But I want us to think this morning for a moment about this story from the perspective of Jesus. I want to watch and learn from Jesus and see how he ministers to this royal official. He does it freely, with no strings attached. I think we can all agree that Jesus' ministry consisted primarily of two things, his teaching and his miraculous signs. What's so intriguing about this is that when we watch Jesus closely, we discover that his words and his actions were two expressions of the same reality. Both his teachings and his miracles showed people something about the kingdom of heaven, the kind of life that he was making available to people. He was showing people life the way God intended when he created the world, a kind of life that Jesus taught could be restored. So when he taught about the kingdom, where goodness prevails, where people treat one another with respect, where love defeats selfishness, where the hurt, the needy, and the neglected find comfort and care and community, and where brokenness gets restored, where God is honored, and ultimately one day where all things that are wrong with the world will be made right. And Jesus didn't just talk about the kingdom. He began to show people what it looks like. Healing the sick, giving sight to the blind, calming the storm, releasing people from the power of evil, making the lame walk, giving people victory over death. These weren't just gimmicks to get people to listen to him. Rather, they were early evidence that the kingdom of God was present and coming. And Jesus was making it clear to everyone that the pathway to the kingdom was available through him, and this he both proclaimed and demonstrated. We find in Scripture that there were a lot of people who didn't have much interest in Jesus' teaching, and they were not persuaded by the things that Jesus said. Many thought that his teaching was, you know, just a bunch of words. He was just another itinerant rabbi out there on the road. He was just preaching, perhaps to the wind. But these people were drawn to the beautiful things that he was doing. They might not have come to grips with his spiritual teaching. They may have not taken him seriously. But they knew that he was addressing real human need. And in Jesus, they saw someone who deeply cared for their problems. In Jesus, they saw someone who was willing and able to help. They were seeing his miraculous signs in the things that he was able to do that others could not. And so this seemed to be the case for the official who came and begged for Jesus to heal his son. He was not interested in Jesus' proclamation about the kingdom, but he was desperate for Jesus' demonstration of the kingdom. This attitude is not far from our reality. People who are unimpressed with all of the talk about God's kingdom and love are looking for a demonstration of it in real life. Now, Jesus starts down the road of a spiritual conversation. He wants for this man to know not only the healing of his own son, but the greater restoration that Jesus has come to provide. And that's why Jesus says to him, unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, you will never believe. But the man abruptly cuts Jesus off. He's not all that interested in a spiritual conversation. He just wants Jesus to help his dying son. And so we hear his desperation when he says, sir, come down here before my child dies. And so what is Jesus' response? Does he sit down and lecture the man about religious things? Does he stop and walk him through some kind of plan of salvation? Does he talk to him about his need for repentance and forgiveness? Does he try other ways to teach the man through words? No, Jesus gave the man what he was looking for. He gave him assurance that his son would be healed. He didn't even follow him home so that he could be sure that he got credit. No, he blessed the man with no strings attached by meeting his need and sending him on his way. Jesus allowed the man the dignity and the opportunity to put two and two together, and that's exactly what happened. Because when the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, your son will live, that's when his son's fever left him. And then it says, so he and his whole household believed. Yes, the story of Jesus clearly shows us that a demonstration of the kingdom is often more powerful than some kind of proclamation of words. Indeed, it was through Jesus' words to him, his demonstration, when he said, your son will live, and the man realized that that's at the exact the same time that his son's fever left him, that he knew that Jesus indeed had the power to proclaim the kingdom of heaven. Now, I think in our day of cynicism and skepticism, in a time when a lot of people talk a lot about a lot of things, it's more important than ever that we let our actions speak louder than our words. When we do good, we can show people more about the kingdom of heaven than our words could ever express. We will be ready to give an account to anyone when the timing is right, when it's God's time. This is why Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Paul is telling us there that if we just live our lives as a demonstration of God's goodness, God will provide the right time for us to express to someone what that's all about. So, at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Our obligation, our responsibility, is to continue sowing the seeds of good. Now, I would suggest that doing good is good for three groups of people. First of all, it's good for us. When we do good for others without any expectation or demand for a response, we learn that ultimately it isn't our work, rather it's God's work. We make ourselves open and available to what God might be doing. We won't have to manufacture opportunities. We don't try to manipulate the outcome. The good we do doesn't need to come with some kind of sales pitch for ourselves or for our church or even for Jesus. We don't have to constantly be thinking about when and how to turn the conversation to spiritual things. We just need to be ready to respond when God says it's the right time. The pressure is off of us to be someone we aren't. We can be real and authentic with others and open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And if and when there comes a time to speak, it will come from an authentic place from within. Now, doing good is also good for others. It keeps the doors of their lives open rather than closed to what God is doing. When you bless people in ways that meet their needs, when you show them dignity and respect, the door to other things God may have in store for them remains open. And thirdly, doing good is good for the kingdom of God. When we follow Jesus by doing good, when we are merciful, kind, and generous, when we show compassion to hurting people and care for those in need, we aren't simply showing people what the kingdom of heaven is like. Rather, we are partnering with God in making his kingdom a reality in our present lives. You see, this is how the kingdom works. When we do good for others and with no strings attached, we discover the kingdom growing around us in unexpected places. It's a theologian N.T. Wright that says this: if we are obedient to the gospel, if we are following Jesus, then every act of love, gratitude, and kindness, every minute spent teaching a severely handicapped child to read or to walk, every act of care or nurture, of comfort and support for one's fellow human beings, and for that matter, one's fellow non-human creatures, all of this will find its way through the resurrecting power of God into the new creation that God will one day make. That is the logic of the mission of God. Those are the words of N.T. Wright. And so the reason that we do good with no strings attached, without requiring, demanding, or even coercing people to respond favorably to us, is because we know that the good we do is an active part of the advancement of the kingdom of God in the world. And what is our response? Well, we do good for others with no strings attached, for our own good, for the good of others, and for the good of the kingdom of God. As we bless people in these ways, we, like Christ, proclaim the gospel of the kingdom of heaven in both word and deed. I see examples of this kind of giving and caring every day, and I see hateful and divisive behavior every day as well. But as Christians, I'm convinced that God is calling us to stand up and show the love of Jesus Christ by the way we live. Jesus taught and Jesus acted. And Jesus' teaching and his actions were one in the same. And we are reminded that in today's world, if we declare ourselves to be followers of Jesus, then our actions must be the same as our words. Yes, Jesus taught and Jesus acted. And it was through that method of showing the kingdom of heaven that he drew people to him and made an eternal difference in their lives. As we continue on through this season of Lent, as we follow Jesus on his way to Jerusalem and the cross, let us be observant of how Jesus taught. taught not only with words, but most assuredly with his actions. To the glory of Christ our Lord. Amen. And now, friends, Alan Vest has prepared for us this morning a song entitled, He Will Carry You, a song by Scott Wesley Brown, this morning arranged and performed by Alan Vest. Here is He Will Carry You.
My brother, that he will carry you. farther than he will carry you. If he carried the weight of the world upon his shoulders, I know, my brother, that he will carry you. If he carried the weight of the world upon his shoulders, I know, my sister, that he will carry you.
Our thanks to Alan for that great song, He Will Carry You. It's important during this season of Lent that we take time to reflect on our lives. What can we do to draw ourselves closer in relationship to Christ? And I am convinced more than ever that in this day and age, one of the best ways that we can do that is to live our lives in a way that brings honor and glory to Jesus. Because we know that Jesus' teaching and his actions were one and the same. And I believe he is calling us to live lives that draw people closer to him. So have a wonderful week ahead. Take a moment to reflect during this season of Lent. And thank you for listening.